بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدرك الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mother and sisters listening at home over the receiver. Last week we had the Ashura Bayan program and I mentioned there are so many other things related to Muharram, and we said inshallah we'll discuss some of those aspects. And tonight inshallah we look at the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously we can't go into details, but the lessons that we derive from that Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the beautiful incidents and lessons for all of us to bring into our lives and to see the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. We find the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. But he had commanded the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in to make hijrat from the month of Muharram. So Muharram comes first. And Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they began making the hijrah from Muharram. And therefore, we are discussing this in the month of Muharram. We find that the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, those forerunners of Islam who accepted Deen, Iman, in the beginning period when Rasulullah ﷺ was in Makkah Mukarrama, they went through great persecution, torture, torment, great sacrifices, trials and tribulations. There were occasions when they came to Rasulullah ﷺ, Ala tastansiru lana, Ala tad'u lana. Why don't you make dua to Allah to give us victory and help? Make dua to Allah. We cannot bear this and tolerate this persecution any longer. And we know what sacrifices they had to undergo. Sumayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was fastened, her one leg to one camel or horse and the other to the other, and they both horses were made to move in different directions and she was split open. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala ahad dawan Allah, being dragged in the scorching heat in the land of Makkah Mukarrama. They went through great persecution. And Rasulullah kept on giving them talqeen of sabar. And until finally the time came when Allah commanded Rasulullah that he must go to now, tell the Sahaba to go to Madina Munawwara. Rasulullah had seen dreams before that, in which he had seen a vision where he had been migrating to a place, a land full of date palms, not knowing that that is Madina Munawwara at that time, that was being referred to in the dream. Nonetheless, command is given that the Sahaba must now migrate from Makkah to Mukarrama. They have leave all the belongings, everything in Makkah, and make hijrat and migrate to Madina Munawwara. Because Madina Munawwara, we know that the Ansar, they had pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were two pledges, bay'ah, al-aqaba al-ula, al-aqaba thaniya, in which they pledged and they promised Rasulullah he will assist you. We find in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, this is plus minus 17 years after the hijrah when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, who around that time, he had sent many governors around. And amongst them was Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala. And obviously Amir al-Mu'mineen, he would send them messages and commands, do this, don't do this. So this correspondence was done through letters that he would send a messenger, carry the letter, give it to that certain governor, this is the instruction. So sometimes there were letters that would come, and this created a bit of confusion because there was no date written on those letters at that time. So perhaps a command came to do this, and then the letter would arrive, don't do this. So the governor became a bit confused, not knowing which letter was sent first by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. If there was a date, then he would know. So he complains to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala, complains to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he understands the problem. Immediately he summons the Sahaba, mashura is made, and that let us fix a date, a calendar for the Muslims. And then various opinions were given and rise were given, and each one was a very brilliant opinion that they gave, each one of them. Some looked at the birth of Rasulullah, which is an excellent opinion. Others give other opinions. But finally, majority of those Sahaba were present, they realized, no, let's fix it to the Hijrah, because this was the distinction between Haqq and Batil. They were persecuted in Darul Kufar at that time, and now they were told to come to Darul Islam, Madina Munawwara. The very first person to make this hijrah was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala. So obviously this is going to history, names of Sahaba. And we have to look at the lessons that we derive. I cannot give all those incidents, and obviously we cannot complete the hijrah tonight. But Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, together with his wife, and they had a little child, three of them. They were so full of enthusiasm and zeal that we must be the first people to enact this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that now make the hijrah from Makkah and go to Medina. So now they are leaving Makkah Mukarramah, and their family members see them coming out. Both the family members were non-Muslim, they were mushrikeen at that time. So when they come there, they see them going, where are you going? They say, we're going to Madinah Munawwara. So immediately, the wife, Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, her family, they come and they pull her onto their side. This is our daughter, you wish to go, you go. We're not going to let her go. And then his family come and they take away the child. This is our grandchild. There was a tussle between both the families, and then his family pulled the child onto their side. Now, Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, he's got an option to proceed with this migration or remain behind with his wife and his child. Now, a person has to be very, very strong in his heart, a strong iman, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make a decision of making hijrah. On the one side he sees his wife, on the other side his child. But he says, no, I will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he proceeds with this hijrah. He was the first person to make the hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. It is mentioned that Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, for an entire year, 1 year, every day she would come onto the same spot where her husband had departed from. And she would sob and cry and cry and cry, hoping that he returns. Until after that 1 year, some people felt sorry for her from the family members, they give her back her child. And then she is now proceeding to Madinah Munawwara on her own with a little child. Look how brave she was. Usman bin Abi Talha at that time was not a Sahabi. He was in charge of the Kaaba, the door of the Kaaba. He had the key of the door of the Kaaba. He sees her. He also has modesty, even though he was a non-Muslim. Sees the woman going all alone. He asks her, where are you going to? She says, well, I'm proceeding to Medina, which is known as Yathrib at that time. I'm going to Madinah Munawwara. My husband is there. So he escorts her. And he does it in a very respectful manner. He doesn't interfere with her in any way. And she remarked that, I did not see any person so respectful as Usman bin Abi Talha. As they came near Madinah Munawwara, he pointed out to her that your husband should be in this city, and he comes back. And you know, the reward of this act of his, Allah blessed him with iman later on, and the key of the Kaaba was still given to him by Rasulullah on the day of Fath Makkah. I had mentioned that previously, the entire incident when we spoke about being trustworthy, etc. And Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give hand over the key back to Uthman bin Abi Talha, who had given the key to Rasulullah sallallahu. Initially he was reluctant, because he remembered that occasion when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, and he asked him that he to please open the door, so let him into the Kaaba. He refused. And now the day has come when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now sort of in charge of Makkah. Makkah is conquered, and he has to hand him over the key. And Rasul goes inside and he prays his salat, and he comes out, and the ayat comes, Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addul amanati ila ahliha, that give back the amanah to his people. And he gives the key back to Uthman bin Abi Talha radiallahu ta'ala. At that time he was a believer, and he said, Khalidan, Talidan, this key will stay with you in your progeny right till until an oppressor, he takes away the key from you. So till today, they, his family, the Sheba family, they are in charge of the key of the Kaaba Musharrafa. So Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, he proceeds, and I mentioned that afterwards his wife comes. The same Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, when he passes away, and to show the caliber of the Sahabi, you know, what a special Sahabi he was, that on his demise, when Rasulullah performed his janazah salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in janazah we have four takbirs. Rasulullah made 9 takbirs for his janazah. After janazah, some sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you make a mistake or you forgot? He said, I did not make any error, nor did I forget. Even if I made 1,000 takbirs for Abu Salama on this janazah, he's deserving of it. Now this is the caliber of sahaba. They were ready to give away their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the sacrifice. So the principle we learn, that anything that is so dear and coveted to us, there comes a day when we have to leave and separate it from it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is all watchful. Allah sees. And Allah rewards the person. Even in this dunya, Allah replaces the person. And of course, in the akhirah, there is great, great, great reward for such people. Then we find a person like Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala. He was from Rome, and he had been living in Makkah. He had come there, and now he decides to make the hijrah. This is the very first few people who are making the hijrah. And when the mushrikeen see him, they address him, Oh, Suhaib, where are you off to? They realize that now he's also moving away from Makkah Mukarramah. And they address him, they say, Ataytana su'luka, you came to us as a beggar, a pauper, a poor man. Fakathura maluka indana, you became rich by us. And now you're taking your lock, stock and barrel, you're taking all your goods and you're going. So Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala had his bow and arrow, his quiver. But he makes a deal, an agreement with them. He says, okay, you'll take all my belongings and let me proceed safely. They agree that you usurp all his belongings. He goes to Madinah Munawwara. When Rasulullah comes in Rabiul Awwal to Madinah Munawwara and he happens to see Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala, immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O Suhaib, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk, that transaction, the deal you made with them, it is very profitable in the eyes of Allah. And Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala realized that nobody, he didn't inform any person. How did Rasulullah come to know? Definitely, Allah had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam of this, what I had done. Then similar was Abdullah bin Ja'ash radiallahu ta'ala. And as he's going, Abu Sufyan then usurps his entire property. All your effort you made, you build a home, and somebody comes and usurps it. How do you feel? It was very painful, sorrowful to him. And Rasulullah consoles him. Abdullah, aren't you happy that in lieu of this house that you had was usurped in Makkah, Allah will give you a home in paradise? And obviously he was happy with that blessing that Rasulullah mentioned to him. Then we have so many others who made the hijrah. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu's brother Zayd Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was also among the very first few people who made the hijrah. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, my brother Zayd sabaqani ila al-husnayayn. My brother Zayd preceded me. He beat me in getting two good things. Aslama qabli, he brought Islam before me. Wasushhida qabli, he became shaheed before me. Umar radiallahu anhu, either he had the conviction that he'll become shaheed also, a martyr, or he had the desire that just like my brother became a shaheed, I will also become a shaheed. But he says, my brother beat me in accepting Islam before me and also becoming a shaheed before me. Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was a very, very special woman in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the one who had joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mother Amina when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a young boy, and they went to visit his maternal family in Madinah Munawwara. At that time it was known as Yathrib. So he goes with his mother, and Ummu Ayman Barakah was the Khadima of Amina. So she was older in age than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she accompanied them. And that is when, at a place called Abawa, Amina had passed on, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried at the qabr of his mother, a little young boy. His father had already passed on, he was a yatim. His mother now, she leaves this world, and Ummu Ayman Barakah she began to console Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She took care of him and brought him safely back to Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would call her Ya Ummah Ba'da Ummi, oh my mother, after my mother Amina. So he would always go and show special care and attention to Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha. He would go and visit her. And when Rasulullah left this world, then Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anha, both of them, they went to visit Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha just after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to go and continue this practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they go, they should begin to cry. So they feel that she's crying because obviously she's missing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was like a son. He's mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit her, quickly she'll prepare some dish, something for him to eat. And sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in the mood of eating and he didn't want to eat, so she would shout him that no, you must eat, like a motherly figure. So they console her that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a better place now, better position than being here. She said, I'm not crying because of that, I'm crying because now wahi has come to an end. She still remembered the days when Jibreel alayhi salam would come, of course, in the form of Dihya Kalbi, or he would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wahi, bring down verses, revelation. It was such a different feeling that ayat would come. And all that has come to an end on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she then spurred the two of them into crying. They also began to cry. So this Ummu Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha, she walked from Makkah to Medina. She didn't have any conveyance, no horse, no camel. She went mashiatan. Imagine, we go by taxi and we still complain. We have a aircon taxi and everything is so fine, but it's taking so long and this and that. What beautiful roads that we have today. She walked, and how they must have found the way, the direction, and managed their way. So she was walking, and she became extremely thirsty, almost on the verge of passing away. Suddenly she sees a bucket, a white bucket, dangling from above the sky, filled with water, right before her. She began to drink from that water, and she would then relate that I took one nice sip from this water, and I never became thirsty again in my life to such an extent that I would make a lot of tawaf of the Baytullah and thinking that now I'll become thirsty. I never became thirsty. And finally she also reaches Madina Munawwara. Then there was a Sahabi by the name of Dhamirah bin Al-Is radiallahu ta'ala, The historians have written that he was blind, very, very sick. But he insisted, I am going to make the hijrah. He told his family members or his slaves or his servants to put him onto a stretcher, like a bed, and carry him. And he came near, just on the outskirts of Makkah, and he passed away. Allah mentions regarding him, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That person who has emerged, making this migration from Makkah to Medina, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ, then moth comes and overtakes him. His reward is ascertained, it is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is buried there. And then we find Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Before that, okay, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he had made the hijrah, all the others before him, this very, very secretly, quietly, without the mushrikeen coming to know, except those few who were caught as they were leaving, and then they made the deal with them, and their homes and belongings, everything was taken away. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala emerged, when he was making the hijrah, there were some others with him, and he had his bow and arrow, and he made an announcement to all those mushrikeen that whoever wants his mother to bereave him, then come and meet me behind this mountain. I'm ready to fight you. And he made this hijrah openly. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and all the others had now made that hijrah. There were some Muslims, some Sahaba, who were unable to make the hijrah from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara. Like, for example, Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she was not given permission by her husband to make the hijrah. His name was Abu al-As bin Rabi'. He was a mushrik at that time. Remember, the laws of nikah had not been revealed then. So in the beginning of Islam, it was permissible to get married in this way. Wonderful son-in-law he was of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he told Zainab, you cannot go to Madinah Munawwara. And when Rasulullah had left, obviously he was missing his daughter. Usman radiallahu ta'ala and Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, they were gone to Abyssinia, because that was one migration. Some Sahaba went. And then afterwards there were rumors that everything is okay in Makkah, so they came back. But others remained in Abyssinia, or they went back to Abyssinia. But Usman and Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, then they proceeded. And so Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has to remain behind. Ummu Kulthum and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were also remain behind until Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd bin Haritha, the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he escorted them to Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Ali radiallahu ta'ala in his place. But the story of Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's living in Makkah, and we're talking now, battle of Badr takes place. So hijrat was made of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba made the hijrah, and Zainab radiallahu ta'ala is living in Makkah. She's alone there obviously with her husband, and her husband was taken as a captive in the battle of Badr by the Muslims. And now Mashwara is made, and they say, okay, we will take a ransom from these mushrikeen and then we'll set them free. So they have to give a certain amount, they give some ransom. So when it came to Abu al-As bin Rabi', the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba who were there said, Ya Rasulullah, don't take anything from him. He's your son-in-law. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, we have to. So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was informed that some ransom has to be given to her for her husband. So she sends a necklace. And the historians have mentioned this, have captured this very beautifully in the Arabic language. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact it comes in some riwayat, that when he saw the necklace, he began to cry. He began to sob. So Sahaba went to console Rasulullah. Rasulullah, please don't worry, I'm taking any ransom. He said, no, I'm crying because this was a necklace my beloved wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha gave to my daughter Zainab when she got married. So I'm thinking of my Khadija and this, and seeing this necklace. Sahaba insists, Ya Rasulullah, give back the necklace. He gives back the necklace to Abu al-As bin Rabi, but on condition you send my Zainab across to Medina Munawwara, he agrees. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's prepared, and now she mounts her camel. It is mentioned she was pregnant at that time, and now she is now leaving, and she is going to make this hijrah to join her father. The hijrah she's making is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're going because it was the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there was great reward for it. But as she's just leaving Makkah Mukarramah, she reaches the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, when a person by the name of Habbar ibn al-Aswad, he sees her. And at that time, with such a malicious intention, he comes towards her. Where are you going? And she says, no, I'm going to Medina. He says, no, not possible. And he pulls out his spear and he attacks the camel that she was riding. The camel falls. Zainab falls off her camel. She is injured and she aborts her child. Then after some time, she manages to go back and her husband Abu al-As bin Rabi is very, very angry with Habbar ibn al-Aswad. And she is nursed, taken care of. And afterwards she sent across nicely. Now Habbar ibn Aswad, remember, he is now the enemy of Rasulullah. He was responsible for hurting the daughter of Rasulullah. The son-in-law Abu al-As bin Rabi', it's a long story. There is a time when he comes and he goes on a business venture and he comes into Madinah Munawwara secretly and he sees Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, and after Fajr Salah, Rasulullah had performed Fajr Salah with the Sahaba. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha shouts from the back, Ya Rasulullah, I have given amnesty and protection to my husband Abu al-As bin Rabi'. Rasulullah told the Sahaba, you heard this? They said, yes. He said, then we will give him amnesty. So he goes back safely to Makkah Mukarramah. He returns the goods that he bought for the people in Makkah on this trade journey. Then he comes back to Madinah Munawwara. Now he embraces Islam and is married to Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. That Habbar ibn Aswad, on the day of Fath Makkah, the conquering of Makkah, there were certain people, Rasulullah mentioned, if you see that person even holding the Astarul Kaaba, the Ghilaf of the Kaaba, you must put an end to him. Habbar ibn Aswad suddenly emerges before Rasulullah. And he comes before Rasulullah. And he mentions, he declares the kalima, La ilaha illallah. Some sahaba draw their swords, ready to attack him, to kill him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, now it is too late. The man has read the kalima, he is a believer, he is now a sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So look at this, is iman, deen. The person who was the enemy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when he brings iman, he becomes a companion of Rasulullah ﷺ because he had seen, Rasulullah had seen him and he was in the company of Rasulullah ﷺ. He is now a believer, he is a jannati. Rasulullah ﷺ leaves Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in his place. And the reason for this is, people had given Rasulullah ﷺ amanat, different belongings of theirs, some monies, etc., to take care of, to look after. He was al-Amin al-Sadiq, people knew he was very honest. And they could leave their properties by him, belongings or whatever wealth they had. Now Rasulullah is going, and imagine the same people are persecuting him. He's got their wadi'ah, their wada'i, whatever they have given him for safekeeping. But he knows that he must go, he must make sure that each person gets his belonging back. And this is the amanat dari of Rasulullah. This is what Islam teaches us. That even though that man is your enemy now, and they're going to plot and kill you, but no. This belongs to him, so you have to hand it over to him. So he tells Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I will proceed, but you must give back each person his due. Do not fright, do not be afraid, do not panic. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was made to sleep in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions later on, that is the most peaceful sleep he had in his life. Outside the house, the mushrikeen, there were youngsters from each tribe. They had gathered, and the plot was when Rasulullah would emerge for Fajr, they would attack him and kill him. And this mashura was given to them by an elderly man. In fact, it was Shaitan Iblis who had come in the guise of an old man. And when they were discussing this matter in Darul Nadwa, that was their assembly house, that what are we going to do to Muhammad? So he had given the opinion that, see, take the one youngster from each tribe and you sit there, and the moment the man emerges, you kill him. So this is what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was put to give back the whatever amanat was in the possession of Rasulullah, which belonged to the mushrikeen. Inshallah, next week we'll continue the remaining part of the hijrah, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. But we see Islam is such a beautiful religion. It has beautiful principles and lessons to learn and derive and apply in our lives. And again, it is sacrificing our wealth, our time, ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's injunction, Allah's command, that comes first. Then how we deal with people, we've got a right of some person in our possession, make sure we give him his due right. Then again, Allah shows us the principle of tawakkul, that my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left me in charge, has kept me behind in his house, and he has given me assurance not to panic and not to be afraid. So imagine what tawakkul Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had. Look at the fervor and the zeal to fulfill a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Abu Salama sacrificed the company of his wife and child for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One adhan to come to the masjid, and we find it so difficult. One adhan, and oh, mothers and sisters, sometimes they are so busy on the phone or busy in the kitchen. One azan and our youngsters, we are there. So this is all for us to bring into our life the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah. Their lessons. Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. We continue next week. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.